This meeting is being recorded.
Man, gas prices is coming down like an H-Town player on blades, bro. Dropping by 30 cents. The weather is getting the hottest that it's ever been, but that's not a shock. I mean, it's Houston. And R. Kelly stood in that courtroom, standing here looking in the courtroom, saying damn to myself as they gave him 30 years. There's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the greatest things that has happened actually today, not too long ago, our cousin, even though she's not really our cousin, but she's I'm claiming her now, Sandra Douglas Morgan, if you want to be politically correct, becomes the first female team president with the Las Vegas Raiders. Cousin Sandra, give me some tickets so I can see y'all beat up on them Texans. Please, please. Please, it is what it is.
Las Vegas is getting those teams. The reports or the rumors or the projections is that, you know, it's Las Vegas and Seattle that are going to get an NBA team. They're saying LeBron is looking to be the owner of an NBA team.
That's good. That's good. I love to see it, especially, I mean, it's LeBron. I mean, how can you, like, be mad at that? He's, you know, arguably he's in the top three. Arguably the greatest, LeBron, Kobe, or Jordan. So he's in the top three. So you can't really be mad at any of that thing that's going on there. I guess NBA is expanding for what? Everybody's going to the same teams. But hey, fair enough. You know,
is everybody going to the same teams?
Are they not?
No, I never understand that argument. People be like, "Die, it's all these power teams." I'm like, they're just a good team. Like,
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. Was Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, and Michael Jordan a power team? Like, I said, when people be talking about, like, dog, nobody, I don't know the team that's the player that's won a championship on their own, except
about to say
for Dr. J.
What about LeBron?
On his own? No. Dr. LeBron has never won on his own
in Cleveland.
On his own? Nah, so he granted, look, Cleveland was a he made that team better. Dr. J was out here.
Plumbers, though.
Exactly. He was playing against plumbers with plumbers. So that's my thing. Nah. Like, you can sit up there and be like, nah, he was playing with you. Nah, he was playing against other people, but he had the same quality on the team, man. Had nothing. Nobody. Had nobody. And if you're somebody that played with Dr. J,
damn,
you know, whatever, you know, God, be damn, upset, man. You know, light me up on ESPN First Take. But I doubt that's going to happen because they ain't checking for nobody who played with Dr. J. It's disrespectful, but it is what it is. All right. So here we go.
That's his hot take. His hot take's hotter than the sun, and the sun makes me black and ugly as ever. However, I stay Houston down to my socks on No, it's STEM again. It's them boys from In My Humble Opinion. I'm your host. I'm your Avery. I'm Avery, like a very nice guy. Oh, yes, it's me. It's me. It's Avery. And you can find me at A-V-E-R-I underscore. Wait, no, I'm T-H-E-E underscore A-V-E-R-I. I'm the Avery on all social media. And if you want to light my brother up, anybody who played with Dr. J, where can we find you at, Devon?
I'm at Just Devon on Twitter, and it's Dr. Douglas on pretty much everything else.
And that's what it is. Else.
I think I'm Just Devon on TikTok too. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get Just Devon on everything, but you know, there's somebody out there that got Just Devon just sitting, and you know, they are Just Devon, but they haven't posted in, I don't know, since 2016. I guess 2016. It's almost been a decade, man. Come off it. Sad. Come off it.
But, so yeah. It is what it is. And you went viral on TikTok. You should follow my brother on TikTok.
Yeah. There is that. Just Devon. I don't want to sound like, remember when Diddy was like, yo, he asked somebody to come off of Diddy or Puffy on Twitter, and the person just would not. That was a great day on Twitter. Like, that was that moment when you realize it's like Twitter is great in that it has exposed celebrities to the public. Like, there used to be fan clubs. You wrote in, and you sent in letters, and then there was a stack of letters, and they was probably answered by an intern. There was never any contact. And now you can see your favorite celebrity just wild out and be crazy online. And you can also just talk smack to basically anybody, because what's going to happen? Like, you what's going to happen?
The anonymity, but one of the things that Diddy did, that one of the funny ones, was when DeLorean came after DeLorean for that on Twitter as well. That was pretty awesome too. That's an H-Town thing. But yeah, the anonymity and on the internet can be a problem, especially when it comes to people in this city. These people in this city, we've actually been, you know, needing to get on our show. From our first guest of Dante Higgins way back long ago, talked about how we needed both these brothers on our show. I got love for my people, but my people don't show no love back to me. But these two brothers from another mother definitely got love for each other. They've been friends since their days in elementary, who both had dreams of rocking the stage and taking it upon themselves to do multiple talent shows, to cultivating a sound that can be compared to the Dungeon Family with a screwed up twist on a space age funk level, teaching students about the potholes in the game and spitting knowledge about how the rap game really is. Funky as the diarrhea in your toilet bowl, the type of funk you gotta wash three or four times just to get it out your clothes, straight out of H-Town, where you might find a nigga on a horse or you might find a nigga in a Porsche. That line really sums up Houston, period. You know, with projects like the Freshest MCs with the aforementioned Dante Higgins, Space Jams, Underdogs from Under Gravity, to name a few. We got Mastermind After Cash. And we also have Adam Bomb repping not just Yellowstone, but the whole South Side. Under Gravity, ladies and gentlemen. Under Gravity. Long time coming.
Yeah. How we working? Yeah.
There we go. All right, man. How's it going? First of all, Mac. Make sure people know what MAC stands for real quick, because we kind of botched that a little bit.
Yeah,
what does MAC stand for?
MAC stands for Mastermind After Cash.
And this is good. We were talking about this earlier, because you were saying, for people that have watched this podcast numerous times, if you listen to us at all, you should know that we're not young. We some older, we older on this podcast, yeah, and you were joking about like, yo, I'm a little older than the rappers. Dog, there used to be like points for your name. Like there used to be reasons. People came up with great acronyms for the name, so I always like it. We interview with somebody that got that call back. What was your thinking when you was coming up with that name?
What, Mastermind of Cash?
Yeah.
So, since we've been young, man, we've been the masterminds. We've been the one that's putting everything together for our friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been the ones, all the moves that's been made, we've been the ones that's facilitating it, I should say. Mm-hmm. He can call himself Mastermind of the Cash too. You know what I'm saying? He just decided to go with another name.
Nigga came up with that and that shit sounded fly.
what grade were you in?
When I came up with that?
Yeah.
I wasn't in no grade, bro. I was grown in the
name. His nickname is Mac, just MAC is short for Malcolm.
Okay.
He already had a rap name. He didn't have to
come. Oh, you already had Mac, and you like, I'm gonna make something fit Mac.
It's not my name, man. He already had Mac. I had to come up with some shit. Took me a long time. It's been a long time coming for me.
The nigga that had so many names. This nigga right
here. I'm about to say, hey, what was his worst name? The worst name that he came up with.
Okay, we do this all the time. Mr. Inquisitious.
I'm sorry, what? Repeat that.
Exactly. Mr. Inquisitious.
Adam Bomb. Explain what the hell was going on, Mr. Inquisitious, sir?
I think that at that time I was trying to, you know, I was on my wordsmith shit. And, you know, I found the word.
This was in middle school, by the way.
In middle school, I thought I was going to come up with some shit.
But it came from iniquitous and inquisitive.
Oh, one of them.
Okay.
The root word inquisitive, and I tried to flip that, and it ain't, you know, it didn't go that well, but it was received well. Ain't nobody tell me shit. I was still nice on the mic.
People didn't know what it was.
Right.
Was like, inquisitious.
Niggas didn't want to sound stupid. They was like, I don't know, but I'm going to just let it ride. Because, yeah, exactly.
Now, for you guys, when you say you were always putting stuff together, starting out, like, at what age? Because a lot of people don't understand. Like, people see hip-hop and they're like, yo, it's been here. It's always been the biggest thing. It's always been on the radio. It's all, like, I was riding in the car the other day and they played, Case, that Touch Me TZ with the Foxy Brown on it.
Love it.
But yeah, it was all like 102 or something like that. And it was that one part where I said, oh yeah, I forgot. They used to just take the raps off of songs. Like they'd be like, nah, you're not hearing that. We're not playing this over here.
Yeah.
So looking at that kind of climate, when you guys start back, like at what age are y'all like, yo, I want to try this out and really get into this art form of hip hop?
I would say probably when we first did, we wrote our first rap in the fifth grade for the Black History program. We had to write a rap about, you know, Black History, and we wrote about Malcolm X and Rosa Parks and shit, Black Panther Party. And then when we got to middle school, we really got in, you know, we started to get into it and get equipment, you know, on karaoke's and making tapes like that, rap, you know, rapping on them and shit. In, you know, elementary school, we first heard Screw, and we just was so fascinated with Fat Pat and Kiki. We just wanted to rap like that. And we wanted our shit to be slowed down. We thought them niggas was slowed down like that. Like, we thought they was drinking syrup and just sounded like that. We were just amazed by that shit. But after we figured out what was going on, man, we just wanted to do that shit.
That's hilarious, though. In the fifth grade, I would think that if I was 10 too, like they just start sipping syrup and all of a sudden they start talking like this. I'm like, if I was 10, I'd have did it. I'd have thought the same.
Yeah. I mean, talk about that too, because I saw an interview with you where you were talking about the influence that DJ Screw had on what you guys listened to. Like, yeah. Talk about that.
Man, I think, you know, when we was listening to Screw, we heard everything. Screw played some of everything, all, you know, different kind of genres, even reggae, R&B, soul. He'll throw anything in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be listening to something live. We'd be listening to Cameo. We don't even know, you know, who it was. But at the same time, when we finally got the turntables, in like eighth grade, when we got the turntables, our parents gave us the record collection, you know, both our parents from both sides. Mm-hmm. So we both already had some old shit to start with. That was, you know, we didn't have no records at first. First thing we had was our parents' shit. So we had all that old shit. And then we get to start putting two together. Oh man, we was listening to Screw. Oh, we was listening to Cameo. And that was Rick James. Yeah. And that was, yeah, Parliament. All that was on there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we was always abreast on music from the past, as well as Screw putting the present shit. And the present day shit he was putting on there was shit you would hear on the radio, all the way to shit that's on the underground from California. You know, the nigga was from California originally. So he loved that California music. We was liking Spice One and Sebo just because it was on Screw. We was fucking with that shit too.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Because a lot of people don't realize how, you know, people think Screw was just doing rap music, and it's like, no, this man was mixing all different types of music. So you guys are like listening to your parents' old records that they've just given you, and you're like, oh, that's where that song come from.
Yeah,
when you so early, very early on, when your parents gave you the record collection, are they like, oh, okay, I see they got this hobby, I want to support it, Or were they just like, oh, here go to some records that they all were getting into, or that they had like a general idea of it?
Yeah, nah, they knew full well what we was learning tables. Mm. You know, we wasn't making no money. We was in middle school. You know, we was, you know, we basically never had DJ training. All we did was learn how to scratch, double beat, how to blend. We learned all that from listening to Screwtape. Like, man, we would literally pause the tape, rewind it, and say, how do you think he did that? And we got it until we got it. You know, we listened to it until we got it. Mm. You know, so DJ Screw was our mentor when it came to DJing, when it came to putting a collective of people together to rap. You know, like we had people from every side of town rapping with us at one time.
That's true.
You know, like we wanted to be Screw. We didn't want to be like Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to be like Mike. We wanted to be like Screw. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like I tell everybody that, like, it was Screw was like our hero. Like he was like, we looked up to Screw. Screw was not a man to us. Screw was a mortal to us. Immortal? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Immortal.
Yeah. Screw was a superhero to us, bro.
Let me break it down a little bit more. First, we got the karaoke machine, right? Mm. And what we figured out with the karaoke machine was that if you record it fast, when you play it back, it's slow. So we would record our raps. We'll pick a beat because we got turntables and shit with all these records and shit. Before the records, we had tapes. We'd get an instrumental tape and pick the, you know, the single used to have the instrumental on the other side.
Yeah.
So we would find a beat we like, you know, from some new singles that's out, and then we would rap to the instrumental on the karaoke fast, and when we play it back, we slow down.
Not we rapping fast, it was just being recorded fast.
So it came out slow. Oh. And then after that, it was a rap, but we thought we was on the path to being like screwed in. It was over, man.
What grade were y'all in at this time, though? How old were y'all in?
This was like fifth grade, I think.
Sixth grade, we was selling. We weren't even selling screwed up dubs. They was just like mixed tapes of songs and us. Us and our partner. Like we had partner. Like it was. Yeah, it was like
trying to do it just like a screw tape.
Yeah, just like that's what I was thinking. Just like
a screw tape. Click, man.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody from school, once they hear that shit and know what we're doing, they want to fuck with us. They want to, you know, they want to be on the tape.
Yeah.
People from the neighborhood, they want to, you know, all the homies want to come get on the tape.
Yeah.
So I imagine, because y'all talk about getting these things like karaoke machines, turntables, like you just said, hey, you know, your parents is buying them. So they, I imagine, have been supporting you guys since day one then.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Okay. All right. So can you, Matt, speak on exactly, you know, well, actually, we can talk about Fat Pat's Tops Drops of Houston Classic. Now, can you tell us what that song means to you, Matt?
Fat Pat, what Tops Drop means to me?
Yeah.
Well.
Or your father, rather.
What Tops Drop means to my father.
Yeah.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. first of all, my dad, my biological dad, father, is Leroy Allen. Leroy Allen is a world-renowned singer. You know, he sang in many bands. One of his first bands that me and Adam was able to witness, him and Terry Ellis from En Vogue, they were the lead singers. Like we would come out of my room, and it might be a full band jamming in the living room. Terry Ellis, my daddy, I forgot the guitarist, Monk. I think his name was Monk, old school guy. Matter of fact, he's still with my dad. Chopper Law, he's still doing his thing. He's still singing. And there was one more other person, I forgot. But at any given time, they would have a full band in our house. So we was heavily influenced by him, first off. I'm just say that first. So one time he was background singing for Y'all Girls and Peoples. So if you know anything about music, then you know that Y'all Girls and Peoples made Don't Stop the Music. Don't Stop the Music. It wasn't no major hit though, right? But it was a jamming song.
Okay. Sure.
So one of our legends in Houston culture wind up doing an interpolation of this song called Don't Stop the Music. And it's called Tops Drop in Houston.
Mm.
You know, so what they call that, like 6 degrees of separation or some shit like that?
Yeah, for real.
That's real as hell. That's awesome, though.
Yeah, and we didn't know, you know, we wasn't, this nigga in here tripping, y'all, my bad. we trying to hook it down. We trying to charge the computer up. Anyway, we that was when you put it like I just thought about it. When you put it like that, that's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
6 feet of separation. Plus, I mean, I imagine that your dad is the one that got you wanting to be on track singing like that. Cause I've been watching your videos. You be singing, bro. You a singing nigga.
Hey, man, but the thing is, I can't mess with him at all. But I feel like I can hold a note, though.
Yeah, that's what's up.
You feel me? I can hold a note. I'm putting this charger in here, y'all. My bad.
I got the one way in there.
This meeting is being recorded.
So what did your dad think when he first heard Tops Drop?
That nigga ain't think none of it. He ain't remember. He don't know. That nigga don't know. That nigga eating background song for a bunch of motherfuckers. He was on tour with Janet Jackson, Luther, Babyface. Like, he done been on tour with a lot of people, you know. But he ain't starstruck like that, you know. He just going there, do his thing. Come on home, you know, but he heavily influenced us, man, with just being, because we was around music so young, like all different types of music. We was able to see live instrumentation at a young age, and we was exposed to, you know, to a lot of people not even exposed to that at our age now.
Yeah.
Live instrumentation, you know, just a live band experience, because if you are a real entertainer, it's really one of the best musical experiences you can have.
Definitely.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It sounds like, I mean, from fifth grade, y'all are deciding like, okay, this is gonna be our career path. Like, that's it. This is what we're doing. At what point did you start to realize that things were working? At what point were you like, all right, now we're starting to make headway?
You know, we started out doing it for the fun. You know, that's what it was about, man. We was enjoying that shit. But I think, you know, so we got the turntables in about the eighth grade. But I think we had already, you know, we was rapping since the karaoke in the fifth grade. But I think when we got to middle school, we started a rap group. Me, Mac, and a partner we went to school with, my partner Brian. And when we started doing them talent shows there, you know, it seemed like we was making a name for ourselves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when we said, we can do this shit. You know what I mean?
So what was y'all name when y'all first came together? Like, I'm sure y'all have had numerous names, just like you had a terrible name before Adam. What was y'all first name together?
We were just me, you and Brian.
Yeah.
Space Age Ballers.
Okay.
Space Age Ballers.
So you kind of knew where you guys was trying to go. You weren't there yet. But you eventually got there with the name Under Gravity. What does Under Gravity mean then?
Under Gravity means that we some underground niggas that hold shit down.
Hmm.
That's real.
Under Gravity.
Simple and plain. I like that.
So at what point in y'all would like you said you started out as a group, y'all were doing talent shows, you were working with somebody else at that time, and y'all still do stuff with other people, like you said, like with Dante Higgins and things like that. At what point?
Wait, hold on. I just want to say one more.
Go ahead.
The name, it ended up being so dope because now if you put us in the lineup, we're gonna be right under UGK.
Hey, that's real though. Alphabetically,
order. Alphabetical order. It makes sense. It makes sense.
Another duo. Yeah.
So,
they influenced us too.
Hell yeah, they influenced all of us.
Oh yeah, I
totally understand.
Yeah, I mean, speak on the influence that UGK had on you guys.
Well, you know. When I remember when nigga first heard that not even the Pocket Full of Stones yet, you know, that shit was old, you know, that shit was old. That shit came out a long time ago. But when that One Day You Here, The Next Day You Gone came out and that Flip Down the Ab While I'm Looking Good.
Yeah,
whenever that shit came out,
yeah.
That was bigger than Tupac shit to us.
Well, yeah, it really was. Like,
Ride Dirty was shit. That made a nigga say, but that along with the A-Ball and MJG, and along with, you know, Tila, and along with Scarface, but them duos, man, A-Ball and MJG and UGK, that was like...
Space Age, yeah.
You know, if you think about it, that's who we sound like. A-Ball, MJG, and UGK.
Perfect.
That's our influence. That's what we listen. That's what Screw was putting us on.
Oh, I thought about A-Ball, MJG when y'all said Space Age Ballers. Mm-hmm. So you can hear the influence. Who were the rappers, besides UGK and Screw, like the rappers in Houston that y'all were focused on at that time?
Nothing but the Screwed Up
Clique,
bro.
Screwed Up Clique.
No other rapper existed at that time. You know what I'm saying? To us, besides Scarface.
You said in Houston.
Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No other rappers
existed. Nah, Street Militant.
I'm saying anything that was on the Screw Tape.
That's what you went with.
That's what we own.
But the Screw Tape had everything on it.
Street Military, yeah. Everybody in Houston at that time, bro. It wasn't just a Screwed Up Clique. Anybody that was from Houston, yeah, we was rocking with Big Mike. He's not even from Houston, but he was signed to rap a lot.
Yeah.
Big Mike.
Mr. Mike. South Circle.
Scarface.
Really, Suave House.
All Suave House.
Rap a lot shit. Devin the Dude.
Devin. Heavily influenced. 3-2. But you know, Heavily 2 wound up being Screwed Up Clique. That was crazy when I found out that was 3-2 on Mama Put Me Out. The number one thing.
Oh, yeah. One Day You Hear.
Yeah, nigga. Man, that's classic. You know what I'm saying? Like, Snoop will tell you where he got his style from. That's where he got his style from. He'll tell
really?
You that.
Really, really?
It's crazy.
Yeah. Look it up. When 3-2 died, Snoop posted it. He like, RIP, cuz, yeah, everybody don't know, we got long ties, you know, Death Row and Rap-A-Lot. You know what I'm saying? They had, you know, it was locked in, so, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah,
yeah. People don't realize that the West Coast and Houston influenced each other so much, like, especially in the, like, in the early days of hip hop. It's because Screw listened to so much West Coast, but it wasn't just that. Everybody down here listened to mostly West Coast music. So I know this because I listen to East Coast music and I always felt like I was left out. Like, I'd be like, oh, y'all want to hear Jay-Z? They're like, man, turn that off. I'd be like, oh, okay.
I'm messing with that. You out here early. But you played some Spice One and everybody in Houston was like, I'm fucking with that Spice One.
Yeah.
And we're brothers, so we was both listening to Jay-Z. I wasn't fucking with Spice One at that time. I am now. I am now, so Spice One don't beat my ass. But I am
now. We weren't messing with Jay-Z like that, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I really ain't started listening to Jay-Z. I only listened to
Jay-Z.
Listen, no, but I'm saying, I started on Jay-Z a little earlier than you, but...
Yeah, but we were listening to Jay-Z on Screwtape.
On Screwtape.
We was listening to Imaginary Playmates in 95?
Yeah. Yeah.
The boy had that on the end of a Screw tape.
Yeah,
you must love me.
Was that 95? That
wasn't
95.
No, it was 97.
96, 97.
Yeah, Jay-Z dropped in 97. Oh, Lord. When Screw had them slow songs like that at the end of the tape.
Yeah.
So, what they say now? It was a vibe. Back then, it was live. Back then, it was live.
Slang is funny how it changes. It'd be the same damn definition. You gotta say the same, you gotta say different words. I remember going to pick up some weed, and I was like,
allegedly,
as if it does anything. Going to pick up some weed, and I was talking to this one girl, and the day before, I was like, she was like, hey, let me get your the number for your weed man. And the next day, she was like, hey, did you tell your plug about me? I was like, nigga. Plug, calm down, bro. Calm down. You guys have been doing this for a bit, though. Can y'all talk about one thing I've seen, like, since y'all been doing this for a while? Can y'all talk about y'all personal relationship and business and being friends? How does that remain so strong?
Because we're not friends, bro. We're brothers.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Which what motherfucker might know, I ain't seen this nigga in a week or two, maybe three. But it don't matter because shit, we damn near came out the same womb, bro. Like our mamas was best friends. So however they did it, I don't know. They ain't never told us that they intentionally had sex at the same time to have us. But
how close y'all birthdays?
Listen. I'm gonna break it all the way down to you.
For sure. My birthday
May 27th. His birthday May 29th.
Goddamn.
You feel what I'm saying? So this is all I know. This is all I knew. Coming out the womb, boom.
That's your brother.
That's what I'm saying. So it don't even matter. You know, everything fall back like how it's supposed to when it's supposed to. Because if somebody is your brother. It don't matter if you talk to them or see them or not. That love still remains the same. You feel what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So that's simple. You know, if we was friends, then it'll be a little different because I hold my friends and my brother to different standards. You know what I'm saying? My brother can fuck up more times than my friend. My friend fuck up one time, you might be gone, bitch ass nigga. You feel me? You my brother, you fuck up a couple times, all right, you might wrestle, slap box or whatever, it's back good. You know, I hold friends and my brother to a slightly different standard, I should say. You know. But, you know, I'm sure y'all brothers, y'all done had scuffles before.
Oh, yeah. I know my brother can speak to that. So,
yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, you know, it's your brother. That's just how it works out.
Yeah.
Tell us about y'all, like, at a certain point, then y'all are like, well, I mean, you know, we can't even say at a certain point. It's very early on, y'all are like, look, we're doing music. Like, that's just what we're doing. This is what we're putting out. What was the first. Like, what do y'all consider y'all's debut album? Because there might have been mixtapes and things like that y'all been working on, y'all put out stuff. But what was the first album where you're like, you know what? This is the first album.
Mm-hmm. I think the mixtape is the first album because we wrote it, we did it like an album. We just couldn't afford to get original beats.
Nah, don't say we couldn't afford that. What the fuck? No, nigga. No. That wasn't what it was, nigga. What you mean we couldn't afford it? You know what I'm saying? We players. We got resources. What I'm saying?
I'm saying at that time,
that wasn't what it was about.
Okay, what it was about?
We had more money than we got now. Shit, the fuck off, I just say. You know what I'm saying? It was about, we wanted beats that was,
we didn't know who made beats.
No, that's a lie, bro.
When the first project came out.
That you want to say is our first album?
Yeah.
I was gonna say this one right here. I thought I was gonna be smooth, y'all.
It didn't work. You was trying to be smooth.
Talk to him while I get this. So boom. This the one we think was our first.
That's the first album.
Yes.
Hold on, wait. Let me get in there.
There you go. Okay. The Space Age Family Presents.
Yeah.
Starships and Rockets. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Starships and Rockets, baby. We on live on Facebook too.
Okay, right? Now when we was in what?
So we was grown then though, bro. This came out in like 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Because
we had like three or four other projects before this. But I feel like this was the one was like, yeah, we've arrived. We hit, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what was it about that project that made it feel like, okay, this is different than the three or four that we've done before?
Okay, I'm going to bust it all the way down for you. First of all, we paid a nigga to mix and master this shit.
Yeah. That does it.
Crazy that we paid to get our shit mixed and mastered when we was rapping out the other beats. that shit was crazy, bro.
We did it like a real album. We wrote, we produced the shit.
Yeah, we produced the motherfuckers.
See what I'm saying? We did titles for the songs, ideas for the songs. Every song got a hook. It's on other people's beats, but it's all original lyrics.
That's good. Original.
None of the songs where we just went with the idea that they had or the same hook that they had. See what I'm saying?
No, that's really important because I used to hate hearing that on mixtapes. When somebody followed the same idea or cadence, I was like, I'm going to just go listen to the original one.
Yeah.
Why would I listen to you? But y'all always had an ear for beats, though. I have to admit, like, even when y'all got into more original beats, like, you know, Hustlers, Never Ever. I like Never Ever a lot. But, like, y'all have always had this really good ear for beats. Where do you think that comes from?
That come from, you know, the listening to them old records and shit, man. Records that our parents gave us, man. Getting into that. And, you know.
But that's what built my ear, I think. Yeah. But also, our producer, his dad, R.I.P., his dad was in one of my dad's band as the pianist.
That's crazy.
So
talk about your producer. What's your producer's name?
Our producer is Phil Blackman.
Yup.
Phil. Phil.
Class. We're going to get him on the show too because Killer Tex is going to talk about
it. One of the coldest in the world, man. One of the coldest in the world. And he was raised the same way we was raised, by the same type of soul that we was raised by. So we didn't even know this guy until ninth grade at Jack Yates High School. We graduated from Yates. You know what I'm saying? So we met him. We found out that he had a little setup just like how we had a little setup. We linked up and we just grew from there. You know,
start producing with that nigga. He playing all the instruments. He playing everything, you know. And you know, we come from the turntables and DJing and shit. But we got the sample ideas and the songs in our mind. We just need him to facilitate it. We might have to hum it to him, you know. And he gonna go from there. All he needs is a little bit. We start cooking with him. And that's how we got the original beats.
Yeah.
You know, after producing with him enough, you know, now we got our own shit on original beats, finally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with the mixtape, was the mixtape was, you know, we was trying to follow the mold that everybody was doing. We was already working with him. We had shit on him.
So why you say we couldn't afford no beats, though? Before that, I'm saying, like, you got, don't have the world thing. We, I'm saying, was broke. Like, yeah. Nigga, we made it happen. But it was strategic, though. You just said it. You said it, right?
We start rapping. In the first rap in fifth grade, we started making songs on other people's beats in middle school. We couldn't afford to go get a beat. Nah, niggas nah, that was making beats, school. You know, but niggas
matter
that
fact,
was,
we did buy a beat that time.
We bought a beat for and we did a single, man.
Yeah.
Rick James sample, man. We had an idea.
A Rick James sample of what? What song? Was being sampled here, if you remember.
Mary Jane. Mary Jane.
All we right.
And it was at the time. It was at the time that Youngster and Lil Flix and all them niggas, Straight Profit, all that shit was. And so we came with Grip and Grain. We took the Rick James, Mary Jane, we did the Grip and Grain.
Grip and Grain.
And, that was, man. It.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, we like, oh yeah, we can do that. So we got the original beat. We got studio time. We did this at another studio, like some professional shit. Like we were trying to, we thought we were some East Coast niggas. We're gonna get the sample. We're gonna get this nigga to replay the sample. It was an interpolation. So we get a nigga to replay the sample. We're gonna go to the studio, get the session. Yeah, we thought we was live.
Y'all was live,
though. Take it from there. We found out how the shit worked.
and how does it work?
You know, if you you want your record to get broke, you know, if you ain't got nowhere to go, you used to have to go to 90.1 and 90.9 and try to get your shit played there, and then go from there. You can't just go in there with the big boys. You got to break bread to get in there. You got to get on a little promotional thing to get your shit in. Dang.
That's good. Y'all talk about those things. You never shy away from any of that. Like, I was watching an interview, and Mac, you said it's easier to make it in the NBA than to be successful in rap. Talk about that. What did you mean by that?
Damn, when I said that?
Said that on...
y'all ain't bullshit, no.
When we was on the phone earlier, and I was talking about that one girl, the light-skinned girl that you did on that Zoom interview.
Right. Yeah. That's Rocky, ESG manager. Now, what about that, though?
I said, talk about that, like, because you guys talk about in your music, you know, what it's really like to be rappers. I mean, you guys, like you said before, you know, you got a family, you got things going on. Talk about the music business in and of itself, how you guys learn from that standpoint of what it really takes to get in this music business.
Yeah, basically, man, you gotta be super available. You gotta put yourself. What is the word? I'm just trying to use big words, but I could have just you.
Don't use big words.
Exploit yourself. You gotta like solicit yourself. Like you have to become available to everybody in some kind of form or fashion. It might just be on Instagram. Mm. You know, it might just be on social media, but you have to become. You have to become that, and you have to have you some money. You have to spend money in a certain way, you have to give money to a certain people.
Hmm.
Period. That's it. I mean, it's nothing else to say because I've seen the best of rappers. I've seen the best of them, you know, that extra, them bandos, you know? And, you know, to a certain extent, man, even if you do all of that, you still might not succeed. Because it's a lot of people that had the bag and spun the bag and still didn't come through. You know? So at the end of the day, it's about all of that, what I just said. It's not even a proven formula for it, is what I'm trying to say. Like, you can do everything. Point. Hold on, let me say this real quick. Play that itself. Like, I can tell you everything, and you still get what you're trying to get. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's no proven way to do this shit. But you have to spend some money in this game.
That's the proven way, though.
That's the bullshit moving.
That is a way.
Like I say, I know people personally that have spent a lot of money being on the radio, spending that money for big producers, spending that money for these extravagant videos, and still not do nothing. You took an L. Like, we know people personally, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, it's not just about the money. It's about, like I say, it's a bunch of shit gotta go together. It gotta be like a perfect storm.
Now the dudes really be doing the stuff, and they be like, "Nah, I'm like, you don't even put out music no more. You just like, yeah, that's what I do." So yeah, there's definitely a change.
Four songs and a body.
Mo, and it's introduced by Mama Mo. Talk about how that song came about, because this came out in 2013,
2012, 2013,
right?
Sample I had on there, and feel the play on top of my shit, man.
Yeah.
And that Mama Mo, that was the icing on the cake, man. It just made it all, you know, coming.
It makes you want to continue working with people like that and putting out that type of music.
You know, I think it's just be the chemistry, man. You know, you just meet people along the way, man, and you have good chemistry with them, man. We just end up meeting them and end up they want to work with us, or we want to work with them, and we end up having some time to do some shit, and it came out right, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, either we reached out to them because we was, you know, we liked their craft, but like Jedi, you know. Just got that ear, and he heard us, and he wanted to do some work with us, and you know, he produced some shit for us. Put on this shit. This shit was hard, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Don't be easy. Nigga like Don't Be Easy, man. You know, he was just in the circuit with us, man. We was out there, you know, doing these showcases and, you know, performances around here in the neighborhood and these little type of shit. Nigga was just in the circuit on the same mission. A lot of, you know, we were just at the same time with these cats. Someone we connected with and put some records together with.
Now, what connected y'all to Dante?
Exactly.
That's like our little brother. So my biological brother is 2 years younger than me. So that made him 2 grades younger than me. So him and Dante was classmates, like in elementary. So we've been knowing him since elementary. So he just began rapping when we was in middle school, you know, but we've been knowing him, like he like our little brother too. Yeah. He might as well have our same bloodline as well. So that ain't got nothing to do with rap.
Numbers, you know what I mean? So on this one, man, we wanted to reconnect, man, and do a collaboration project type shit, man.
That wasn't the main reason.
Y'all brothers for real, dog. Y'all been arguing this entire podcast, and it's so organic because it ain't no hate. I love it.
He had tore his Achilles, dog, man. And the nigga was down. The nigga was depressed like a motherfucker. Dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nigga was down. So we took it upon ourselves, like, man, we ain't gonna let this nigga just be in the highs and not and just give up on life and shit. You know what I'm saying? We gonna have this nigga in the studio. We gonna crank out the hardest shit that we collectively can come out with.
Nah, wait, my nigga wasn't about to give up on life.
I ain't say that. I say we don't want him.
I say we don't want him to. Don't want to paint him like that. No, it's God level. God level.
He was down. He was down. I said down.
He was down. You know,
I said he was down, bro.
We just had to go to the studio like on some 5 heartbeat shit and come up with some live shit.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have said that. He talking about the feed. He trying to be funny and shit. I'm saying my nigga was down, man.
Yeah.
His spirits was low. He couldn't move around. And he gonna tell you the same shit, is what I'm saying. Motherfuckers that was blowing up his phone was not fucking with him at the time. Like, it was a rough time for bro. Yeah. And that time, when we did that, he was like, yeah. And by the time we was able to do the video, the first video, which was a... what you say? It's hard.
Yeah, we came back hard, man. My clothes are too big in that video.
It was a time period. All of our clothes were too big at that time. Clothes just started getting to fit the right size in the last like decade. Yeah. Last 5 years, really.
I really want to reshoot all that shit.
Fit, man. Big ass pants, and I don't need you. No, that
was on purpose.
We did that on purpose. Timepiece.
That was 1997. If you played in the beginning, that was then. That was in the past. That was the flash.
Okay.
But all the previous videos, that shit was big like that on purpose.
That nigga say he want to redo all the videos over.
Damn.
Better clothes. Yeah. Like, what the fuck you gonna wear?
Clothes that fit.
You know, no matter what it is, it could be blank t-shirt.
At this point in y'all's career, what is y'all's ultimate goal now at this point? Like, who do y'all want to work with? What do y'all want to do,
man? At this point, bro, I forgot the song. I don't really want to rap no more.
Yeah, your song's on
the album. I don't even remember. But at this point, nigga really don't want to rap. I still want to create. I want to create. Like, I've been ghostwriting. I've been co-producing and co-writing for people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to do that. But I want to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Mm. Feel what I'm saying? So I'm saying this right now, but we got 12 songs on there that's unreleased that we have to release.
Okay.
You feel what I'm saying? So I can't say I don't want to rap no more. That's just how I felt at that time. But whatever I do right now has to make sense. That's all. It just has to make sense. It don't, as long as it can make a couple dollars, then I'm good with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically what that is. And as far as working with somebody, man, that's like a two-sided question, because I want to work with everybody that want to work with me, and I don't want to work with nobody. because I'm real on like vibes. Like, I don't care if you got a big name. I don't care about none of that. I don't care if you got more money than me. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about none of that, bro. If you come around me and you acting fraud and you acting like you bit better than me, and I don't want you around me. So, you know what I'm saying? I've been connecting with, you know, different people. I don't know if y'all know TSK, Team Stacks.
Mm-mm, no, tell us about it.
Yeah, nigga from the North, man. I've been connecting with him. We fans of each other. You know what I'm saying? I've reached out to him. He say, bro, I've been a fan of y'all before you even knew who I was. You know what I'm saying? So I've been sending him stuff. He's been sending me stuff back. And, you know, we finna lock in with him. We might do an album with the nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how stiff it is. You know, it's just like all the underdogs, man. Everybody, Cab, K-Dog, Fats, man, everybody. Like, we gonna, like.
Friends of the show. All of them.
Yeah, everybody in Houston, that's the underdogs, man. That everybody overlooked and just finally now starting to realize, yeah, we want to work with all that. I don't, you know, Because one thing about it, you know, we'll sit here all day and say, yeah, man, I want to work with Eric Badu. I want to work with motherfucking
Dr. Dre.
I know. That's not too far-fetched, though. I'll tell you about that later. But, you know, we, like I say, we want to work with people that want to work with us.
Absolutely. Now,
tell us about it later. Tell us about it now.
Tell us about Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre. Far-fetched? It's not too far-fetched.
It's not too far-fetched.
We've interviewed a few artists that have had Higgins, with Dr. Dre, including
Mark Bird, y'all.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So one of our other producers is Mark Bird, Charity, Killer Tex. Mm-hmm. Those are our nucleus of producers. That's who we exclusively deal with. Those three and Phil, that's what we exclusively deal with.
It makes perfect sense.
You know, y'all already know. Mark Bird, he tapped in. He tapped in. We tapped in with him, so we tapped in.
That's real. All,
you know, that's family. That's family, man. So, you know.
You know, seeing people like Mark Bird, but not just that. Y'all have been around. Y'all have seen the changes in climate in Houston music scene in terms of more people paying attention to it, people coming down here. I mean, 50 Cent, we were talking about him earlier. I mean, there appears to be this big, larger trend of, well, not a larger trend. Look, a lot of people don't know, rappers from all over have been living down here in Houston for a while. It was like their little vacation spot. They just wasn't telling nobody. Now they starting to tell people. How do y'all feel about the climate in Houston right now?
The rap climate?
The rap climate, the music climate in general.
Man, the thing is, everybody get everything from Houston. So it's like, now these niggas wanna sound like everybody else. So it's easier for them to kind of get heard because they dealing with it's like people ears is crazy. It's like, even though a nigga sound like another nigga, I'm cool with that. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm not really cool with that. Like, we come from where everybody sound had their edge to them. Everybody had their niche. Like, we knew who the difference between Mike D, Kiki, Pokey, Hawk, you know, they all had a slight difference to their cadences and everything else. Like, even on the bigger scale, you had Tupac, you had Tribe Called Quest, you had Wu-Tang Clan, like, you had different types of, you know, genres of, like, your sub-genres of rap.
Yeah.
But now, it's really like everybody dripping, splashing, and high fashion, and drilling and killing, and what else? The over sexual, overly violent.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? It's like,
These niggas is killing niggas in Dior with a bunch of fake butt girls. That's pretty much all they talk about.
Yeah,
that's it. That's exactly it right there, bro.
All
it's like,
because it also takes away from the regions. I can't, you know.
That's what I was gonna say.
New York rappers all sound Southern to me now. When a New York rapper come out now, I'm like, you sound like you do Southern drill music. Until Pop Smoke came out, and now everybody sound like Pop. Everybody that come from New York now sound like Pop Smoke. Every time I hear a new New York rapper, I was like, where did y'all get this voice from? And I was like, you know, that's new, because I know people like DMX and Ja Rule didn't sound alike to me. And when they came out, it wasn't like they was trying to be the same thing. It's not when Ja got popular, everybody was like, you know what? I'm about to start. I'm gonna make my voice sound just like Ja Rule. And now it's like, yo, I'm gonna get on here. I'm gonna growl like Pop Smoke. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get the same tracks as Pop Smoke. I'm gonna get the same producers as Pop Smoke. I'm gonna make the same videos as Pop Smoke.
It's so good.
Pop Smoke, hey, I'm gonna just do the same thing. So it's a wild time now.
Even the older niggas in New York, they be doing, they're doing the Pop Smoke. Please don't fight me, Jim. Please don't fight me, Jim Jones. But you know what you're doing.
Look, in Jim Jones' defense, Jim Jones looked like whatever's popular at the time. I'm a big fan of Jim Jones. And look, I'm gonna tell you.
I love that Lobby Boys album.
If you had have gone back, I could go back in time right now, me, and go talk to myself in 98, 99. And I could, and if I told me, yo, that dude in the back of the Cameron video, he gonna be putting out albums. I'd be like, nah, the dude, the whole Cameron stuff. The Bodyguard? They'd be like, he's put out some decent albums.
Great, yeah, that Lobby Boys album's good.
It's all production. But you know, it is what it is.
Got some of the like I said, y'all got that ear for beats too. But before we get too far away from it though, 2020, obviously the Rona happened, took out everybody. Some people, you know, got better, some people got fat like myself. But some people actually put out albums. What was it like for you, Mac, to be able, you like my transitions. What was it like for you, Mac, to be able to put out an album, especially by yourself though? How was the difference with you putting out an album by yourself as opposed to putting out a group album with your brother, Adam, over here?
Scary times, bro. That shit was scary. But I just felt like I needed to do that shit because it was like, I ain't doing shit else. And I just had so many ideas. I'm like, man, I'm going to put this shit out. But the plan was for me to put out a solo, for him to put out a solo. Then we put out another Undergravity. Then we'll figure out if we want to still do this shit or not. So that was the plan. So I just jumped the shit off, though. I just jumped it off, and it was a little scary because, like I say, even though this nigga don't help me write my raps or no shit like that, just having that nigga on the side, like, bro, do this shit sound right? And him saying, hell nah, this shit don't sound right. Or, yeah, that shit sound right. That was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I still had my nigga Double R SAF on Instagram. He was here. My little brother, you know, like immediate family, but a lot of people, like my sister, you know, my daddy, my mama, you know, they was here, but my wife, my little baby, they was around, but it was secluded. You know, it wasn't a lot of fellowshipping anyway. So I was just like, man, let me just do some shit, man. Let me see how I do. I really want to redrop that motherfucker because I've yet to perform 100K in a day.
And that was
like, I want to perform that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You should redrop it, like re-promote it, shoot some more videos. My brother always talks about how with streaming, you can do videos for anything. And the only person I've seen do that was Kanye West. By the time he did 808 and Heartbreak, he shot a video for Spaceship. I thought that was a genius. I was like, yo, I want to.
Everybody ain't heard the music. And it's like, right. Why not put it out? Right. And I'm like, I'm sorry, man, I be getting ads for like, Exhibit just put out, he didn't put out nothing. He's doing a re-release of an album that he put out 10 years ago.
Yeah. Like, that's why he was playing that yesterday?
Yeah. No. That album is from like 20 years ago. He's doing one from 10 years ago. But that's my thing where it's like, yeah, I don't see why not. The music's the music. Plus, these kids listening to music from 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago now anyway because of TikTok.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I mean, that's just how it goes.
I think y'all paused.
This meeting is being recorded.
So when you talked about before, like you said, you was by yourself and, you know, you recorded an album by yourself, of course. But Adam Bomb, when is your solo album going to come out? And do you have a title? Because I got a title for you.
You got a title for me?
Yeah. it's what is it? The Atomic Underground.
Atomic Underground.
looking ass.
You gotta explain that because it don't sound deep enough.
You at a bomb. You under gravity. I was just putting stuff together. Like I was like, yeah,
man, just connected atomic and under.
I always thought if I when I do my shit, they gonna expect me to do some shit with atom bomb and the title or some atomic.
Just because I did the mastermind.
That's why I said atomic underground.
It's not that, man.
I thought he'd say bomb atomically, but
I'm gonna tell y'all what my shit. What I got? What you want? Some juice. The title I'm thinking is called. Y'all East Coast, you fuck with the East Coast shit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Only built for Byzantine links.
Oh, okay.
Really, okay. The Wu-Tang, okay. Raekwon, okay.
I'm giving the Cuban links, and I'm doing Byzantine links for this Houston shit.
Yeah.
I had a Byzantine chain back when I was in high school.
So. I'm going to have Byzantine chain on in the cover. I'm going to have this nigga Mac in the background, like Ghostface Killer on the Raekwon album. Like that.
Y'all heard it here first. Don't steal that title, y'all. That's his. That's perfect, bro. Like
that. I ain't never heard that. That was news to me.
That's dope.
So y'all are still gonna do that. So you've dropped your solo, which you said you might just go ahead and redo some stuff. You know, drop some more singles, a couple of videos. Adam is coming out of his, and then y'all are gonna come back together and do a group album again.
Drop my shit together. I drop my shit and he redrop his shit at the same time.
That makes sense. Do it like how Outkast did their fifth album.
Like Outkast.
Yeah. You can finally do the video for I Don't Even Want to Rap No More. So yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's perfect. Yeah, nigga, we fans. We pay attention.
Hey, y'all niggas like that nigga named Nardwar.
Yeah.
We ain't got no gifts though. You know what I'm saying? We gotta step that up, dog. Cause I'm like, he really be giving out gifts. Like real gifts. Like, oh, here you go.
I can't give you a record that your dad was on. I can't.
Nardwar. Yeah, we can't do that record that was discontinued by somebody's dad, dog. I think she started crying. I was like, dog. I said, how you even find this?
You know, we're not gonna give you cell therapy and be like, tell us what cell therapy means to you. This is when you were.
Look, but when you said that shit about Fat Pat and how Yardbirds and people, that shit reminded me of some Nardwar shit right there.
That's what you should have done. That's how you should have asked it. Tell me about Fat Pat.
I'm going to be Nardwar.
Nardwar.
I ain't going to be giving out gifts, though. I'll be giving out gift cards.
You're
going to
be Nardwar, nigga. I need you to do a skit on my shit.
I definitely will. That would be hilarious.
Definitely will, because I've been on other niggas' albums doing skits as well.
Hey, that would be hilarious. Now, y'all, yes. That should be done. Tell us about Top's drop.
Definitely will. We are two niggas from Sugarland, and don't try to hide it. I'll be like, I'm the Highway 6 God. I call myself that. I'll be like, me and Rob Gillette. He make fun of it all the time. I'm like, I'm not running away from nigga. We're from the suburbs. So yeah, but yo. It's been a pleasure for y'all to come through or stay in, like I say. I mean, we could talk. You said what?
It's time to go.
The hour went by so quick, people have been commenting, it's been getting better. My brother came over, helped me clean up this room back here. We're turning this into a live studio. We got the table back here. We're going to be talking all the stuff. Once we get that stuff out, we definitely want to have y'all come out and just talk live. We'll have food and drink and everything for y'all. And just talk about stuff. Because I said, we want to talk more about the history, the Devin. First of all, I'm always a sucker for any Devin the Dude story.
Got a hell of a Devin the Dude story too, boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hold on, real quick. I gotta say, goddamn.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
please
yeah.
Tell her before we get out of here. Please do.
Say it now. So, I don't know how this nigga. So, Dante people is cool with Devin the Dude. All right. So, that Dante people invited us to Devin the Dude album release party one time when he dropped a CD. I forgot what his something Elevation. Yeah. What is I forgot the name of it.
Yeah, I forgot that album too.
Acoustic Elevation.
Yeah, the last.
And man, so we went to the album release party, and it really was like a family thing. Like it really wasn't even a lot of it wasn't a bunch of people there. It was just like nothing but his family and friends. So we go in there into the booth while he start playing his music, and he just talking to me and Dante. And then the shit come on, and this nigga Killer Text is filming the shit, dog. The shit come on, and this nigga start performing. The nigga start doing his rap shit. You know what I'm saying? Doing his Devin the Dude shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hell no. And then we, you know what I'm saying? We drinking our coffee as well. So it's like, hell, I damn near fanned out. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I damn near fanned out, dog.
I was there.
You was not there. You was not there. That was one of the ones that you did not make. You was upset when we called you. I think I hit you that same night.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah. You got, so Mac, you have your story. Okay, so Adam Bomb, tell us about your Devin the Dude story.
Which one? You talking about the one? Which one?
Whichever one you want to tell. I was talking about the one on the plane, but if you got another one, hey, tell us anything.
One time I was in the Fiesta on Macau, man. You know, my father, he the cook, right? That thing was at Fiesta. We was getting some shit one time. I was a young nigga. I probably was in high school. And this nigga, we sliding down the aisle, man. I'm like, man, is that Devin in Fiesta? I tell my father, all right, Pop. Hey, that's that rapper nigga I like, man. He say, yeah, man, say something to the nigga. I'm like, wow, man, I ain't gonna say nothing. What I'm gonna say to the nigga? He like, man, say something to the nigga. We get up close to the nigga, right? We finna pass by the nigga. The nigga stopped us and hollered at my dad like, man, hey, what's up, man? How you been doing this shit, man? I'm like, you know this nigga the whole time? I'm sitting there wanting to meet this nigga. I'm listening to this nigga records about in the bathroom, boo-booing, and you know this nigga? Me and this nigga used to work in the water department together, man. Your daddy the truth, man. That nigga cool as hell, man. I'm like, oh, man, you know this nigga, man. That tripped me out, man.
Devin the Dude might be the most down-to-earth rapper that's out. You just see him out. Like everybody, you just see him out and he just be doing whatever he want to do. He just
went out. Shit, when this nigga be talking about baked beans and collard greens, this nigga be cooking that shit for real.
Yeah.
I said, you at the stove buying meat. This nigga really.
I'll talk about your story, Devine.
Oh, no, we pulled up at, it was Spivey's. Went before Spivey's had the truck that was in, I think that was the third ward. Might have been fifth. Either way, he was out there. I pulled up so I could get, the turkey necks. And then I look over, and it's like some dude just sitting on a couch outside. So I'm like, Doug, is that Devin the Dude? And I was like, yeah. So I go up to him, and I was like, hey, yo, Devin the Dude. Yo, my brother and I got a podcast. This is like real early on. He was like, yeah. He goes, yeah, I'll definitely. He goes, yeah. I'll give you my number. So he gives me the number. And then I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. Then he stops me and he goes, hey, make sure the number's right. I was like, all right, cool. We still never really connected. I'm talking about it maybe like a year or so later. I'm talking to Lance Scott Walker, the guy that wrote Houston Rap Tapes and the DJ Screw Book. I'm telling him, I was like, nah, you know, we try to get guests. I said, yo, I'll try to get Devin. He goes, oh, that's a hard one. I was like, what? He goes, it took me forever to track. He goes, Devin was one of my last interviews. Like, it was literally just, and finally somebody told me, yo, call him early in the morning. They're like, by the end of the day, he's off doing his own thing. And he's like, that's just it. I said, yo, I'm like, he just a cool dude.
That's awesome.
Plus, everybody should follow Devin on Instagram because his Instagram stories are hilarious. You don't know what he's going to be doing. He might be racing a professional RC car. He might be
cooking
like
turkey necks.
His own strand of weed. He might be cooking turkey necks. One time I just pulled it up and they was killing a whole hog and then they roasted it. Like, I was like, dang, this man just live a life. And I was like, dang, you just got to follow him, man. You got to follow him.
You know what though, man? Devin the dude changed my life, man.
Yeah.
How so? Man, this is a serious story, man. This
okay,
story.
Okay.
Okay, okay. This is out of ball from the heart. This is serious. I was a young man. I was in middle school, man, and I moved to South Union. And I found me a barber over there, man. And this nigga used to be selling all, he used to have a hookup. This nigga used to be selling all the Rap-A-Lot CDs. Like, but they was the real shit, pressed up. It wasn't no bootleg shit.
Okay, okay.
And so I'm looking at the CD. He got all the shit in his little case, right? And I, you know, my cousin used to teach me, he used to pick the albums based on the album cover. So I'm looking in his CD case and this shit. And I see this nigga on the toilet shitting on the album cover. I'm like, I got to buy that one, man. Yeah. When I come back to get my haircut next week, I'm buying that one, man. Man, I get that shit, man. And Devin changed, fucked my life up, man.
Me too.
You know, I used to want to play. Me and Mac was playing on sixth grade. We got the Persian, man. I was playing on the basketball team. And I feel like after I heard that Devin the dude shit, I quit the team, man. fuck with them bras and make my music. I wanted to be Georgie Pargy, man. I just wanted to be a fly nigga fucking with the hoes. I didn't want to hoop no more. They had me running too much, man. All we did at practice was run, man. I ain't never get the ball.
Yeah, you go with that stupid shit.
By the time I got to the motherfucking game, I was to the motherfucker, man.
Georgie Pargy was a cry for help.
Hold on. He's talking about we ain't never get the ball. That's a lie, bro. Don't say
I ain't get the hoop, man. All we did was run, man. That's all I remember, man.
You stayed at practice.
At practice, that's all we did at running the game. I was nervous as hell, man. I ain't want to get in the game, man. You know, then I listened to that Devin the dude, man. All I want to do was fucking the brows, man.
But y'all ain't noticed what he said in the beginning?
Devin
said, that nigga say, nah, this some heartfelt shit.
Heartfelt, that's bro. Heartfelt, man.
That when nigga it, say, I used to listen. I used to look at album covers. for the high look, and when I seen Devin taking a shit,
when I seen him taking the shit on the album cover, that was so provocative. As a young kid, I was mesmerized. I was like, I gotta hear that. It looked
how was that heartfelt?
And when I heard that song, look, he said, "Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a freak. She titty dance on the cool. Now my friends smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I buy a quarter pound and sell them ounces and threefers." I was like, man, I went to school trying to sell weed and got kicked out of school, man.
He did.
I went to school selling threefers, man. I got kicked out of Persian, man. Trying to be like Devin the Dude, man.
Facts.
It changed my life, man. That Devin the Dude in the bathroom, boo boo.
Thanks.
My life. Devin the dude, that album there. So you took what he said and you did exactly what he said.
That nigga owe me an education.
That nigga, at least
bro, you graduated.
I need it. Okay, he owe me
a
verse, man.
That nigga said, do what the fuck you want to do, and you took it to heart.
Y'all know Dante. Y'all need to get. Hey. Look, we all
owe me a verse, man.
We need to work on this together.
All trying to get Devin
I'm trying to cover, we try to get him on the podcast. I'm trying to cover his concert for the press. So, yeah, man. Hey, we all need to work. We need to meet Devin as a group.
Okay, play that nigga this and show him that he
I'm definitely taking this piece.
I'm definitely going to tag him up.
Before we go to, mine's real easy with Devin the Dude. I used to work at Olive Garden on South Main. Devin the Dude, if you see this, I was one of your favorite servers back in the day. I'm not gonna lie.
How long ago you did that?
Okay. Mike Jones was popping, so it was a minute ago.
2000?
Yeah, nigga.
All right, it was 06.
Why Olive Garden got that?
Oh. 06.
Why Why I live going after them little bitty shrimps and that shit, man?
I was just serving and I was fucking hoes. I don't know. All right.
You know
them hoes is frozen. You can look at them and tell.
They come frozen in the bag.
They thawed them shits out. I used to think
that was live. Well, go ahead with the story. Right?
Oh, no. I used to think, look, I thought Olive Garden was fine dining. And then I got older. All right. Okay. I swore. But all I'm saying is, Devin the dude.
Wasn't getting you no more.
You know what I'm saying? Devin the dude, I was one of your favorites. So I used to geek. Big Mo came in there with Mama Mo. They both got fettuccine Alfredo and spaghetti, and then they fell asleep. And I just let them sleep. And my manager was like, you got to get him out of here. I was like, no, I don't. No, not at all. So I'll geek over Mike Jones. Actually, I didn't geek over Mike Jones, but Mike Jones was there. He came with two hoes and he had two women. Sorry, I'm trying to not do that. And he had a Bentley. It was like, man, everybody used to pop in there, but Devin would come in there so nice. I remember one time he had another server because I came late and I walked in. He go, there we go, man. I was like, so Devin, hey. We all want to be a piece of the Devin thing, all right? We all know you're a legend. This is a cry out from under gravity, from in my humble opinion. We all want to be a part of some Devin-ness, all right? It's just what it is. But before we go too, my bad, where can we find the both of y'all on social media?
Mac Under Gravity, Adam Baum, what is it? Adam Baum 713. And Under Gravity TV.
There you go. Under Gravity TV. That's what it is. Well, thank you guys for showing up, staying in, or coming. Well, coming out or staying in, as I say, everybody. This is in my humble opinion. Tell your friends. Tell everybody if you're on YouTube, like, share, and subscribe. Get in the comment section. It can't just be Kimberly. Shout out to you, Kimberly, in the comment section all the time.
Shout out to Kimberly, dog. Kimberly really listened.
She listened. Kimberly, one of our biggest fans.
Kimberly, you have beat our cousin as top guest. You know what I'm saying? Sheldon, I'm sorry. You ain't beating Kimberly. Kimberly comments. Kimberly listens to the stuff. Yeah, shouts out to Kimberly.
Shouts out to Kimberly, and that's just what it is. Humbly yours. In my humble opinion podcast, baby, H-Town is too sweet. H-Town. It's too sweet, y'all. Bye.